you very much. Boker Tov, good morning to everybody. The topic of civil marriage in Israel is a very sensitive topic. It's almost the most important issue. If we put aside the foreign and security affairs, and when you talk about the interior problems that bother the Israeli society, that's one of the most important. It became much more important recently because of the political negotiations between Israel Beiteinu, the Lieberman's party, as a result of the increasing number of mandates that they got in the last elections, especially because of the fact that in Israel we have almost 500,000 immigrants that are defined halachically as non-Jewish. If it's because they are not Jewish, or because there are certain doubts and the immigrants could hardly bring evidence to prove that they are Jewish, and that's why halachically, according to the rabbi, they are considered to be non-Jewish. These people grow up in Israel, they go to the army, they go to the universities, and they meet Israeli Jewish boys and girls, and when they want to get married, they discover all of a sudden that in Israel, unlike the States, there is only one official way to get married, and this is by registering in the rabbinate. You can get married only according to the halakha. If you are Christian, you get married by the priest, and if you are a Muslim, you get married with the Qadi. And if you are Jewish, even if you are not religious and you don't believe in nothing, it doesn't matter, you have to go to get married through the halachic way, through the rabbinate. The state doesn't accept civil marriage as marriage unless it was made outside the country. For instance, if a couple comes from the diaspora, whether it's from Cyprus or the United States, and he brings approvals that he's married, and he's married in a civil marriage, he's considered to be married. But if he wants to get married in Israel, the only way is through the halachic way. One of the problems that was raised recently because of the immigration from Russia was that it's not reasonable to cause people that want to get married, and the rabbis will not let them get married, which is such a fundamental privilege for human beings in democratic state, that they will be able to get married in their state, and the government will not let them, the law actually will not let them, will not allow them to get married, because in these cases a part of the couple is the groom can be a goy and the bride will be a Jewish girl, and this is intermarriage, which the halacha doesn't allow, and the state will not allow such a marriage to take place in the state of Israel, so they have to fly to Cyprus. Or before the Intifada, they used to go, a few of them went to Gaza or Jericho to get married in the Palestinian Authority in a civil marriage there. So one of the proposals that is now laying down on the table, on the Knesset table, is the proposal of Israel Beiteinu to have civil marriage in Israel. They don't want to call it civil marriage because the name is very sensitive in Israel, so they called it covenant of couple, Brit Hazugiyut, but it's actually the same thing, but changing the name and not using the word marriage. That's the idea, in order not to bother the religious people, but actually at the end of the day it's the same issue. Well, we are trying to learn today what is the halachic attitude to this marriage. Suppose the state of Israel was behaving like the Americans or European countries that actually recognizes officially only in civil marriage. We allow people to get married in halachic ways here in the States, but everyone goes to register in a civil way. And the question is, what is the halachic attitude to this civil marriage? I must add that there are rabbis, especially a very famous one, his name is Rav Bakshi Doron, who used to be the former chief rabbi, the Sephardic chief rabbi, that encourage civil marriages. And they say, despite the fact that there is a danger of intermarriage, which is one of the risks that they take, they say on the other side, we'll be better off, halachically, if the non-religious Jews would get married through a civil way and not through the halachic way. Because once they want to get divorced, if they are not really observant, we are afraid, or we should be afraid, that they will not be makpid, they won't keep the rules of loyalty to their wives or to their husbands, and we will have a lot of mamzerim, because they will not observe the rules of the halacha, and the woman will not wait until they get the get from the husband, which happens quite often, that the husband is not in a hurry to give the get and to release his wife out. When in the alternative of civil marriage, if this happens and they want to break off, and the husband is not willing to break the connection between him and his wife, and if his wife will be mezane, so it doesn't matter, because anyway she's not considered to be eshet ish, and therefore there are rabbis that say it's just a nonsense that we, the rabbis, the mainstream of rabbis, that insist to continue the status quo of having the non-religious couples getting married through the halachic way. It's just a mistake. They should get married in a civil way in order to prevent, to avoid all these mamzerim and all these types of znut that might happen to people that are not observant. What we are going to learn in the coming three quarters of an hour is to understand what is the halachic status of civil marriage. Is civil marriage nothing according to the halacha? Does it require a get, or does it not require a get? Are people that get married in a civil way, are they considered to be, is it considered to be znut, or in certain meaning, in certain sense, it has a meaning of being married? What is the status, halachically, of being married in a civil way? So, I start with the first source, which begins with the Rambam in Ilchot Ishut. This is a very famous Rambam, and a very unique one. Usually, the Rambam brings the halachot that apply to us as Jews, and he almost never compares the current halacha that applies to us with the halacha that referred to people before the Jewish law has been established, what we call Sheva Mitzvot Neinuach. Usually he speaks to Jews, and therefore he refers to the halachot, since we got the Torah, we received the Torah in Ma'amad al-Sinai. He doesn't have to compare the halacha to what was the habit before we received the Torah. Here is one of the very, very few places that the Rambam begins his halacha with describing what was the situation before we received Torah. Kodem Matan Torah, before we received Torah, היה אדם פוגע אישה בשוק. If a human being met a woman in the market, אם רצה הוא והיא לישא אותה, if they wanted to get married, מכניסה לביתו, he brings her into his house, ובועלה בינו לבין עצמו, he has relationship, sexual relationship with her, ותהיה לו לאישה. But this was the halachic situation before Matan Torah. I am saying halachic situation because the halacha recognizes in Nisuin of Bnei Noach, actually there is a status of Eshet Ish by Bnei Noach, like by Jews. as we all learned in the last 2 weeks parshas. We learned about Abraham Avinu going down to Egypt. And he says to Sarai Imenu, Imrina, please tell them, Achotiat, that you are my sister. Leman mitavli ba'avurech, v'chayta nafshi biglalech. What was he afraid about? He knew that the Egyptians are very particular, they are very, very makpid on the halacha of Eshet Ish. He will never take Sarai Imenu to be his wife if he knows that she is married to Avraham Avinu. He has only one choice if he wants Sarai Imenu. He will kill Avraham Avinu. If they are very makpid on Eshet Ish, they are not makpid of murdering. But they are very makpid. That's what the pasuk says. They are very makpid. And we learned the same thing yesterday. When Avraham Avinu has to explain why he didn't tell Avimelech that he's married to Sarai Imenu, he says the following: Rak amarti, en yirat Elokim b'makom hazeh. There is no fear from Hashem in this place. V'haraguni al dvar ishti, and they will kill me because of my wife. So what does it mean? They are not makpid on murdering, but they are very makpid on Eshet Ish. He will never take the woman if her husband is alive. And Tosfos says in one of the places that Al ken yazov ish et aviv ve'et imo ve'davak b'ishto. This applies to Bnei Noach as well as it applies to Jews. And there is an isur aseh. On Eshet Ish when it comes to Bnei Noach. And that's what the Rambam describes here, that before Matan Torah there was marriage, but the marriage was in a different way than it became after Matan Torah. Kevan shenitna Torah, when Torah was given to Klal Yisrael, nitztavu Yisrael, Klal Yisrael was commanded, shim yirtze ha'ish lisa isha, that if a man wants to marry a woman, he cannot just bring her to his house and to have a relationship with her. He has to be mekadesh before. He has to buy her before. Im yirtze ha'ish lisa isha, yikne ota tchila b'fnei din. The chidush, the news of the Torah, is kiddushin, the action of kiddushin, which is prior to the action of marriage. That's why we differentiate between kiddushin and nisuin. In former times, in previous times, there was a difference of a few months between them. Just now that we combine the two ceremonies together, and that's why we read the ketubah in between, in order to differentiate between the two ceremonies. It actually had nothing to do one with the other. The first step is to make kiddushin, and this is the chiddush of the Torah of the Jewish marriage. That marriage does not start with nisuin, but it starts with kiddushin before. And that's why we say a beautiful brocha when we are making kiddushin. We say the following: Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al ha'arayot v'asar lanu et ha'arasot. ויתיר לנו את הנשואות לנו על ידי חופה וקידושים. ברוך אתה השם, מקדש עמו ישראל על ידי חופה וקידושים. There is no other blessing that says the following. We are saying, we are making a lot of brachot, we are making a lot of mitzvot. And we always say, אשר קידשנו במצוותיו, וציוונו על הנחת תפילין, להתעטף בציצית. But we never say, we never use the terminology of מקדש עמו ישראל על ידי תפילין. מקדש עמו ישראל על ידי ציצית. מקדש עמו ישראל על ידי לולב. We never use this, we never say this statement. The only place that we say this is in קידוש. מקדש עמו ישראל על ידי חופה וקידושים. What characterizes, what makes the people of Israel so unique is the fact that he is making us holier by this ceremony of Mekadesh Amo Yisrael al Yedei Chupa v'Kiddushin. And the Rambam continues. The next halacha, Velikuchim Elu Mitzvat Ase Shel Torahim. It's a mitzvah to make this Kiddushin. I'll skip a bit and I go to halacha Dalet. Kodem Matan Torah, before Matan Torah, Aya Adam Pogesh Isha Bashuk, Im Ratzahu, if he wanted, Vehi, Noten La Schara, he gives her money, Uboel Ota Al Em HaDerech. He could have relationship with her, even without marriage. Veholech Lo. Vezoi Hanikret Kdesha. Zoina, Bish. You know, it's beautiful in the Hebrew language. Kadosh is holy, and Kdesha is the opposite. When you use the same letters, but in a different way of pronouncing it, you could, the difference between holy and the opposite of holy is not that big. You just have to change the tune of what you're saying, the way of pronunciation of these words, and it becomes from holy, it becomes the opposite. Marriage could be the holiest thing, but having the same idea of marriage, not in the same way, with a different pronunciation, it becomes the opposite of being the holiest, what we say, tameh, the unpure, the worst thing that could happen. I continue. Ve'olech lo, ve'zoi hanikret kdesha. Mishenitna Torah, when Torah was given to us, ne'esra kdesha, it is forbidden for us. Sheneemar, לא תהיה קדשה מבנות ישראל. לפיכך, כל הבועל אישה לשם זנות בלא קידושין, לוקה מן התורה, מפני שבעל קדשה. According to the Rambam, in the present time, the current time, if a Jew lives with a Jewish girl without קידושין, is over every day on this love מהתורה, לא תהיה קדשה. Because once the Torah was given, there is no other way to live with a woman but the way of Kiddushin, Kedat Moshe Yisrael. This is what the Rambam holds. And therefore, the status of civil marriage according to the Rambam, number one, it is not considered to be marriage because it's not done according to the Kiddushin, one of the three ways that a person should make shtar, kesef, obia, with the purpose of kiddushin, kedat Moshe Yisrael. So, first of all, it doesn't require a get, because it's not considered to be marriage. Number two, it's forbidden to encourage this, it's forbidden to do this, because it's isu d'oraita of znut. To live with a woman that without chupa v'kiddushin, it is forbidden isur of zinut. But his position was not, this position of the Rambam was not agreed upon all the Rishonim. Many Rishonim argued with him on both points that we have just mentioned. I'm reading source number 2, Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezer Siman Kafvav. En Aisha Nichshevet Eshet Ish Ela Al Yedei Kiddushin Shenitkatsha Karaul. Well, that fits to the Rambam. Aval Im Ba Alea Derech Znut. But if he had relationship with her without a purpose of marriage, but Derech Znut, שלא לשם קידושין, אינו כלום. It's nothing. ואפילו בא עליה לשם אישות בינו לבינה, and even if he had the purpose to live as man and woman, אינה נחשבת לאשתו, because it wasn't in front of two witnesses. But ואפילו אם יחדל, and even if he, she his girlfriend, and even if he wants to live with her for, on a constant basis, אלא אדרבה, כופים אותו, we will force him להוציאה מביתו. But the Rama gives a very, very strange reason why we are doing that. We should expect to see, to hear, if you want to give the reason, why is that forbidden? And why do you force the man to send his wife, which is not a halachic wife, to send her home, to send from his house to another place? Because he is oiver on Isur Znut. But the Rama doesn't say this. Shevadai boshahi militbol. It brings a new reason. Why do you have to send this woman from your house? Because most probably she's not going to the mikveh. Because she's ashamed to go to the mikveh. Because the balanit, the woman that works there in the mikveh, will ask her, what's your name? And she'll have to answer, oh, you got married to him? I never heard that. I never got an invitation to his wedding. I know him very well. I didn't know that you are married. So we assume that she will be ashamed to go to the mikveh. And that's why we force him to send her out from his house. That's not the reason. The Rama should have said that the reason why we force the husband, the man, to send this woman from his house is because she's not his wife. He's mekayim znut. He brings a bitch to his house. That's the problem. Not because she doesn't go to the mikveh. And then the Rama, if we were doubting in the understanding of the Rama, aval im meyached elav isha. But if he has only one woman, and that's his girlfriend, and that's his wife, vetovelet elav, and she goes to the mikveh, yesh omrim shemutar vupilegesh ha'amura b'Torah. There are Rishonim, and there are, it's a Rama that says, there are Rishonim that if she goes to the mikveh, it's not a problem. She could be his wife. If they decided to live together, it's not forbidden. Ve'yesh omrim, and the Rama continues, she'asur ve'lokim al zeh mishum lo tiyeh k'desha. So there are positions that say, that claim, like the Rambam, you can see Rambam, Rosh, Betur. But there are Rishonim that disagreed with the Rambam and held that it is allowed. Actually, according to the first position that was brought in the Ramah, we understand that it could be allowed halachically to go to civil marriage, in which you create a covenant with a woman on a constant basis. You are meyached her to be your husband, and you will live with her for many years, and it's allowed according to the Rama, to the first opinion that the Rama brings. So we find that the idea of civil marriage, whether it is forbidden or allowed, it is actually in a big dispute between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam says it's an Isur K'desha, it's an Isur of Znut, but the Ravid holds that it is permitted, and it is actually what the Torah defines as Pilegesh. And Jews are allowed to marry Pilegesh. Yes. No, it's the Rama refers to the question of forcing the husband to send her out from his house. The issue of Pilegesh is not depending on Taharat HaMishpacha. Taharat HaMishpacha is Aloche of Isur V'Heter. Znut, Pilegesh, is a halacha of kiddushin, whether it's mutar or asur. These two halachot are not depending one on the other. The Ramah combines them just because he wants to explain that why will we force the husband to send the woman, because we assume that they are not makpid on Taharat HaMishpacha. But if you would have asked me, that's not the right explanation of the Shulchan Aruch. The right explanation of the Shulchan Aruch is that the Shulchan Aruch follows the Rambam, and he held like the Rambam that it is issue of Znut, and that's why you force. And as a matter of fact, we know that the Shulchan Aruch follows the Rambam in 90% or 95% of the cases. So we could assume that the explanation to this halakha of the Mechaber is because he held like the Rambam and not like he didn't support the Ravid's position. The Ramah was so, it was so clear to him that the Mechaber doesn't agree with the Rambam, and that's why he explained him in a way that will fit to his opinion. But I don't think that this is the real reason for the halakha that was said by the Mechaber. The Mechaber, I assume, agrees with the Rambam. The Ramah most probably doesn't agree with the Rambam. And that's why he tried to explain even the Shulchan Aruch that will fit to his opinion. But these are two separate halachot. The halacha of Taharat HaMishpacha and the halacha of Znut. Okay. I said originally that there could be disagreement with the Rambam's position on two issues. One issue, whether it's allowed or it's not allowed. That's number one. But there is a second issue, a second point that could be a disagreement. How do we relate? What is our attitude to civil marriage or to the situation in which a man lives with a woman with the same woman on a constant basis, whether we are sure that this will not be considered as a halachic marriage? Because maybe he didn't go to the rabbi, didn't register in the rabbinate, but still it might be considered as halachic marriage. What could bring to such a situation? There is a very famous statement that was said by the Gemara in certain circumstances. The situation was the following. A man gave a get to his wife. Afterwards, a few days afterwards, a phenomenon that I happened to meet in my career already 3 or 4 times. After he gave get to his wife, he visited her once, twice, 3 times. He visited her and he stayed to sleep with her. What is her halachic situation now? The Mishnah says, despite the fact that they didn't go to the rabbi and they didn't register to the rabbinate, we assume that they had relationship, and we assume that the relationship was for the purpose of kiddushin. Why? Mora says the following reason. Chazaka, there is a chazaka. El Adam ose beilato beilat zinut. If a normal man has relationship with a woman, he doesn't do it for a purpose of znut. He has in mind the purpose of kiddushin. As a matter of fact, a few of these cases wanted to get married afterwards. And when I came to ask a shayla by my rabbis whether I can make a bracha, they lived together, he gave her a get. They lived together for a few months and then they decided to get married officially. And now I was asked to be misavek kiddushin. Can I make a bracha of kiddushin? Because halachically, maybe they are considered already married because of this chazaka, en adam oseh beilato beilat znut. So now give a look at source number 5. Come to Shulchan Aruch and says the following: Lo amru chazaka zo, de en adam oseh beilato beilat znut. There is such a chazaka that en adam oseh beilato beilat znut. Ela beishto shegirsha, only when you gave a get to your wife. Or bemekadesh al tnai ubaal stam sheharei ishto uveishto chazkato sheino se beilato beilat znut ad sheyifaresh shu beilat znut. This chazoka is limited only to specific cases that you gave a get to your wife, or that you were mekadesher on certain conditions and yet you had a relationship without mentioning these conditions. Aval sh'ar kol hanashim bechazaka sheba'al l'shem znut ad sheyefaresh sheba'al l'shem kiddush. But other women, there is a chazoka. This chazoka doesn't apply to them, doesn't exist anymore. And therefore we could consider this as non-halachic marriage. So if a man has relationship with his wife, with a woman on a constant basis, it will not be considered as marriage because this chazoka doesn't apply to him. But there were many others that disagreed with this. And I refer now to the next line. V'chen ish v'isha, which is the most important, that refers to our situation. Shehemiru le'avodat kochavim. They converted. They became Christians. Be'ones hagzerot, in the time where there were terrible gzeros. V'nis'u leze leze b'chukot hagoyim. They held civil marriage. Af al pi shemityachadim ze im ze b'chol yom le'inei hakol. Em choseshim lahem mishum kiddushin. We don't say that this marriage is considered to be marriage, because we say that they were doing this because of the gzeros, they didn't mean it seriously, and that's why we don't pay any attention to this marriage. There were positions among the poskim that didn't agree to this, and that said that you couldn't refer to a young couple that gets married. They never heard about halacha. They never paid attention to halacha. They grew up on a secular basis and secular education. But they love each other and they don't consider themselves as doing maaseh znut. They want to get married. And that you won't recognize that there is a certain meaning of marriage in what they are doing. And they said, at least you have to refer to them as Bnei Noach, that make kiddush, make misui, make marriage with, that are marrying each other. They are not less than Bnei Noach. Jewish people that were growing up on a non-Jewish education, you should refer to the marriages at least as you refer to Goyish marriages. And there is a meaning for a non-Jewish marriage, V'davak v'ishto, the situation before Matan Torah, that was prior to Matan Torah. The one that held this position and said it very loudly was a very famous Rav. His name was the Rogachover. And here in the States, I will refer to it in a few minutes, there was a very famous Rav, I guess all of you know his name, Rav Henkin. Rav Henkin, and it was a very, very big dispute between Rav Henkin and Rav Moshe Feinstein regarding this specific issue. The Rogachover said it's impossible to refer to the non-Jewish marriage as nothing. I don't have the tshuva of the Rogachover in front of me. I do have a poisek that quotes this tshuva in source number 6. There used to be in Israel a Rav, he died very young, he passed away, Rav Shilo Rafael. He was the son of Yitzhak Rafael. I think he's mechutn with Rav Lau. But anyway, he was a very big Talmid Chacham. And in one of his tshuvas, he quotes and he explains the tshuva of the Rebbe Tshuva, referring to our topic. Shnei gdarim ledaato b'chayei ishut. There are two levels or two essence of marriage. Geder isur. It's the meaning of isur. Sheisha nesua, a married woman, is prohibited, ne'esra al-akhirim. She's prohibited in others. But there is a second meaning of marriage, v'geder kinyan, she'isha zo knuya le'ba'ala. There is one issue that this woman is devoted, should be devoted to her husband, should be specified to her husband. And there is another issue being forbidden on others. U'mevo'ar, שכשם שבבן נוח, למרות שאין לו תורת גיטין וקידושין, מבואר בגמרא שיש בו איסור השסה של ודבק באשתו ולא באשת חברו. There is a meaning of marriage by goyim, ואשתו קנויה לו. כך בישראל, even by Jewish people, גם ללא חופה וקידושין, even if you didn't get married halachically, שייך בו איסור עושה של ודבק באשתו. לכן בנישואים אזרחיים, אף אם אין באישה גדר איסור של אשת איש לגבי אחרים, הרי יש בה גדר של קניין שמיוחדת לבעלה וצריכה ממנו גט פיטורין להפקיע קניין זה. The Rogoshova says it's impossible to say that when a Jewish man is married to a Jewish girl on a secular basis, it will be worse than non-Jewish marriage. And once we know that according to the halacha, there is a meaning to a non-Jewish marriage, even goyim should be devoted to their wives, and the wife will be devoted to their husband, halachically. And once they get divorced, there has to be a certain ceremony, and halachically it should be a get that the man gives to the to his wife. The same thing applies to non-religious marriage when it occurs to a Jewish couple. This is a tremendous chumrah, because you could imagine that according to the Rebbe Tshuva, once a couple got married in Russia, and they got married in civil marriage, and the woman arrived alone to Israel or to the States, and the husband doesn't, we don't know where he is, and maybe he doesn't want to give a get to his wife, she'll remain alone forever, because according to the Rebbe Tshuva, she should get a get, because otherwise she's considered to be married, because she got married, despite the fact that she got married not in a halachic way, she's considered to be married halachically. Arav Henkin had a huge dispute with Moshe Feinstein regarding this issue. Moshe Feinstein, as a part, I don't want to analyze it from a scientific point of view. I would refer to this from the halachic point of view. Moshe Feinstein canceled all the meaning of civil marriages and conservative marriages and reform marriages, and said everything is nothing since it's not done according to the halachic way, even if it was done with a rabbi that is orthodox but he serves in the rabbi in a conservative shul, etc., etc. Moshe Feinstein said this is all nothing and we don't refer to this as marriage. And he said, I know Rav Henkin wrote to him a weird letter. I don't know if you all read the Igrot of Rav Henkin. I happened to read a few weeks ago the letter that Rav Henkin writes to Moshe Feinstein. It's written in the books of Rav Henkin. And he writes, you are causing a lot of mamzerim in Israel. It's a terrible statement. Because you say that there is no meaning for civil marriage, and there's no meaning. He actually accuses him. He says, you fight against the conservative and the reform, but during the way of this fighting, you're causing a lot of mamzerim. That's what Rav Henkin is blaming Rav Moshe Feinstein. And Rav Moshe Feinstein is referring to this. Please give a look in source number 8. Ine im nisuei harishon. You see this? Im nisuei harishon ayu rak berkaot. אשר אף אם יש אצלם נתינת טבעת מידו לידה, even if they have their giving the ring from his hand to his to her hand, הרי לא היו שם עדים כשרים, they weren't their kosher aid witnesses, דלא ילכו עדים כשרים לראות בקידושי הרחאות. An assumption that you could argue, I mean, it's not necessary, that assumption. ונמצא שהקידושים שהיו אז אינם כלום. But you want to say that it's considered to be קידושים, והנידון הוא רק מה שדעו יחד. They live together. שתי שנים. That you want to say that ענן סעדה, we can assume, שהיו ביות ארבה, וחזקה אין פועל בעילת צנות, ובעל לשם קידושים. ואף אם לא נתכוונו לקידושי תורה, and even if they didn't have in mind for the purpose of קידושים, משום שלא היו שומרי תורה, maybe you don't need such a purpose, אולי אין צורך להתכוון לקידושי תורה, דכיוון שנשאה לאישה, since he wants to get married to her, ולא לזוינה, סגי שתהיה קנויה לו, במה שנבעלה לו אחר כך בדרך ביעה דאישות, שהרי ביעות אלו לא היו לזנות. You want to tell me that it will be considered as relationship for the purpose of marriage despite the fact that they didn't have in mind the purpose of kiddushin of Torah. כבר בארתי בספרי שבמופקרים לעבור איסורי תורה, people that are not observant, אין בהם חזקה, וכן פוסקים גם המחבר והרמה, ודחיתי שם דברי הגאון רב יוסף אליהו הנקין שליטה. He refers to this dispute that he had with Rav Henkin, שמחמיר בזה. אך אף כשנחמיר, and even if we want to be מחמיר, הוא רק כשראו שני אנשים כשרים לעדות, איך שדרים כדרך איש ואשתו. שהוא רק אם דרו, it's only this could happen only in davu bemakom sheshchichei anashim ksharim, that they are living there religious people, sheyesh litlot sheyadu v'ra'u lechol ha'pachot shnayim. But if they live in a Jewish place and there are two religious people that could see that they live together, then it makes sense what Rav Henkin says. But otherwise, even Rav Henkin wouldn't be mach. That's what the tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein says. Well, it was a very big machloket in the States between Rav Henkin and the Moshe Feinstein. Today, in the current time, the policy of all Batei Din all over the world is the following. I assume that I have to leave a short time for questions, so I'll summarize it in 2 minutes. The policy of all Batei Din all over the world, that lechatchila we are choishesh and we require get after civil marriage. We are choishesh. Lechatchila we want to make sure that he gives a get, and we are choishesh to the position of Rav Henkin, Rogachover. But bimkom even when we see that it begins to start to be a problem, the husband is far away, the father, the husband requires, demands a lot of money, etc., etc., then most of the Batei Dinim will not be choishesh to this and will release the woman to get married even without a get. But officially, lechatchila, we require a get. If we don't have a choice, we release her without a get. If there is a kind of legitimacy to civil marriage. And if it could solve problems of znut, of get, and other, of mamzerim, so why do we insist so much of having in Israel halachic marriage and not civil marriage? I would summarize it with three reasons. Number one, it's an isur d'oraita of lo tiye kedusha, according to the Rambam. That's number one. Number two, according to various opinions, we didn't gain nothing, because we'll still need to have a get if this happens. But number three is the last, but it's not the least, it's the most important reason, as far as I'm concerned. I would like to give an example. If we ask a rav, what is worse? I have two choices. I'm a rav in a hekvelt somewhere in Venezuela or in the States, in a community where there are the 50,000 going, 1,000 Jews, 99% of them are not Jewish, are not observant, are not religious. And I have one of two choices, and I come to ask the rabbi, should I marry my daughter or my son to a non-religious girl, but Jewish, or to a non-Jewish girl? What is the answer halachically? Well, the answer is the following. To get married to a non-Jewish boy or girl, it's an isur lav. There are positions among the Tanoim and among the Rishonim that it's not even isur lav, because isur lav refers only to the seven nations that live in Eretz Yisrael at that time, Knanites. It's only isur lav. To get married to a non-religious girl that will not observe the rules of Taharat HaMishpacha, it's everyday isur karet, every day. So if you count halachas, what is worse? It's worse to get married to a Jewish girl. I don't know one rabbi that will give this answer. I never met this rabbi that will give this answer. Why? The reason is very simple. Because you don't only measure mitzvahs. Because once your son will get married to a non-Jewish girl, it means that you're taking apart, you're tearing apart from the Jewish nation. All the rules of the Torah were given to Jewish people. And once you are married to a non-Jewish girl or a non-Jewish boy, it means that you are taken away from the Jewish nation, which is the worst thing, despite the fact that it's not written in the halacha nowhere. Because this is the basis of Jewish nation. So it's not true that you always decide according to the pure halachic counting. There are other measures, what we call meta halacha. I don't know what's the translation for this. What stands behind the halacha, which is very frequent, much more important than the pure halacha. Now I'm quoting one of the Rashi Yeshivot of Brisk, which was not suspicious of being Zionist from the other side of Brisk, that the son, one of the sons of the Brisker Rov that lived in Eretz Yisrael, that was very, very close to Meturei Kaut, and once was asked, why do you so insist on marrying these non-religious couples in a religious way? They're not religious. Aren't you choshesh to mamzerim, to znud, or whatever? And he said the following answer, which for me became, I think, kind of a flag that I raise it from time to time to be sure that we follow this way. I'm not willing to give away Kedushat Yisrael. What the Rambam declares as the basis of the holiness of the Klal Yisrael, Mekadesh Amo Yisrael al yedei chupa v'kiddushin. What the Rambam defines, this is the only place where he refers to the situation before Matan Torah, prior to Matan Torah, and the situation after Matan Torah. Which means this is the basis of Klal Yisrael. The Kedusha of Nisui, the holiness of the Jewish marriage, I'm not ready to give this away. And I want every Jew to feel, to be inspired by these moments of becoming holy and touching the holiness of Kedushat Israel, despite the risks that we take. And I think that now I'm finishing. This is one of the ideas that SOAR, my organization, was based on, was established on, to inspire the non-religious society by touching these moments of marriage to feel what Jewish values are about. Usually they find they are exposed to Jewish values when they see the riots in Yerushalayim, or when they see the murder, the last murder in Titel and the previous one, Amir and others, or they see thieves or others, and they say, oh, you are religious, so you belong to this and this. That's one of the seldom moments that they could be inspired by what the holiness of Klal Yisrael is about. But what is Jewish and religious values are really about, these are the moments of Kiddushin, the discussion, the meeting with the Rav, with his Rebbe, a few weeks before, to see his house, to see his face, to see his children, to see how Jewish house looks like. These are the moments that we believe that the inspiration that they get in these moments could inspire them for their entire life. Toda Rabba. Thank you very much for listening to me. If there are a few questions, I'm just in time. Shavakasha. Yeah. No, Bnei Noach don't require a get. It's a beautiful question. The answer is the following. I said that it's very rare that the Rambam compares the current situation with the situation prior to Matan Torah. There is a second place where he compares. It refers to get. And he says the following. Prior to Matan Torah, a get was not needed. What Matan Torah was mechadesh is that when this connection between a man and woman is broken, the man has to give a get. Prior to Matan Torah, there are four opinions in the Midrash, in the Yerushalmi, what was the situation. There is an opinion that they couldn't break off. There is an opinion that he would release her by words. There is another position that she would release him by words. And there is a third position that they should release one each other by words, not by get. Writing a paper and giving it, passing it over from one end to another, this is a chidush that Torah was mechadesh. You ask according to the Ritshova, will a civil get? Could be. He doesn't refer to this, but it could be. Yes, bakasha. But please, louder. It's very interesting, this question. It's a very, very good question. The answer is the following. It depends which basin you go to. That's almost always the good answer, but in this specific question, that's very true. Because even those who are machmirim, they say that they refer only to Isur Eshet Ish and not to Isur Lav, not to Mamzerim and to other aspects. But in Israel, the policy is that once a woman got a get lechumra, no Beis Din will allow her to get married to a kohen. Doesn't matter what kind of a chumra it was, they will never allow her to get married to a kohen. I know that in other places in the world, they are a bit more flexible with this. Please.
children that are born to parents that were not lawfully married. If not, would it not be preferable to say that the civil marriage does not count? This way you point the issue of longevity.
That's for sure. People that were born to to couples that were married in civil marriage, even if they got divorced or they didn't get again, did get again, doesn't matter, the children will always be considered as kosher children without problem or mamzerim. That's the privilege of the civil marriage in compared to the halachic marriage. That was the claim that Rav Bakhti Doron said. That's why he preferred the non-religious couples to get married in civil marriage. It's a very famous position. I disagreed with this because of what I've said just in the last few words, that I don't want to give away the idea of Kedushat Yisrael to the non-religious people.
Well, why would Rav Kagan be arguing that he's promoted, that Rav Moshe Feinstein is promoting the idea of this evil throughout the land, if in fact he's actually
combated the idea? Because Moshe Feinstein thought that there is no meaning for the civil marriage. And that's why, according to his opinion, there is no problem of mamzerim. But according to Rav Henkin said, you are mambe mamzerim, because Rav Henkin held that the civil marriage is considered to be a real marriage. And if it's a real marriage, and especially when he referred to the conservative and reform marriage, Rav Henkin held that this marriage has meaning halachically, and therefore he held that Moshe Feinstein is Mabe Mamzerim. Thank you very much. Thank you very much to the staff.